Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wine About History podcast.
I have a rendezvous with death at some disputed barricade when spring comes back with rustling shade and apple blossoms fill the air. I have a rendezvous with death when spring brings back blue days and fair. It may be he shall take my hand and lead me into his dark land and close my eyes and quench my breath. It may be I shall pass him still. I have a rendezvous with death. On some scarred slope of battered hill, when spring comes round again this year and the first meadow flowers appear. God knows 'twere better to be deep and pillowed in silk and scented down, where love throbs out in blissful sleep, pulse nigh to pulse and breath to breath, where hushed awakenings are dear. But I've a rendezvous with death. At midnight in some flaming town, when spring trips north again this year, and I to my pledged word am true, I shall not fail that rendezvous. And that is a poem called I Have a Rendezvous with Death, written by Alan Seeger, who was a United States citizen. I believe he was born in New York in June 22nd, 1888, and died fighting in World War II in the French Foreign Legion. And that poem has gained some notoriety for being really, really good. And it gives you an attitude of what World War I, a.k.a. the Great War, would have been like. And, you know, this okay, man kind of knew he was doomed.
Can I interrupt just for a minute? Yes. You said he died in World War II?
Oh, I did. He died in World War I.
Okay. Bummer.
Bummer for him, yes. Anyways, without further screw-ups, let's proceed.
Okay. Because we're going to be talking about World War I.
We're talking about World War I, also known as the Great War.
All right, we should probably introduce ourselves.
Yes, we should.
We neglected to do that after you launched that, into the poem. But you just wanted that cold opening.
I wanted that cold opening done.
Yeah, okay. So we went with a cold opening this time for the poem. Hope you enjoyed it.
With us,
it was a good poem. And so this is Wine About History, and we're drinking wine, and we're kind of whining about history, mostly talking about history. With us today is
Max.
Max
the Ranter.
Max the Ranter and his sidekick, M-Bomb.
M-Bomb.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Yeah. She has wonderfully accepted my invitation to join us today. She won't be around every episode.
I didn't have a choice. I want to watch the Olympics. The minute giant slalom's on, I might be out of here. But no, for now.
So yeah, if you don't hear her voice and it's just me.
I've got Olympic fever.
It's Olympic fever. I don't understand. Anyways, World War I. It's not easy to understand how the death of one man and his wife caused the deaths of nearly 10 million soldiers. And another couple tens of millions of citizens as well. And what it was a political domino effect, which caused the Central Powers, Germany, Austria-Hungary, which was one nation at that time period, Bulgaria, the Ottoman and the Ottoman Empire, to face off against the France, Great Britain, Russia, Serbia, Belgium, Montenegro, Japan, the U.S., Portugal, Herzl, Greece, and Siam, which were the Allied powers.
Oh, they weren't kidding when they said World War I.
They were not kidding.
Pretty much the whole world.
Well, there's lots of there's lots of debates about that too. Like they say it's the first modern war, whereas the American Civil War is actually the first modern war. But that's probably something European historians differ on. But there are trenches in World War I, and there are trenches in the Civil War.
Okay.
There are heavy automatic weaponry, and you know, and there was even in both wars, and there was even air forces in the Civil War.
What?
They used weather balloons to shoot at each other.
Oh my gosh!
So,
wow.
Bring it, European historians. The Civil War had it all, including a massive death toll. So, you have the Central Powers and the Allied Powers butting heads. And the main point of conflict, one of the main points of conflict, was the Western Front. Now, that's where America fought later on in the war. And I should probably point out the reason I'm not doing a forgotten person or an unknown person or something like that is because I want you guys to get an idea of what World War One was like. Awful. So, the Western Front was created when German field marshal is someone who's in charge of all the soldiers in the field. They outrank generals. Normally, kings appoint them. His name, the German one, was Alfred von Schlieb, I believe. And he had an aggressive plan to invade on both fronts, Russia and France. And he did so to invade France through neutral Belgium, which was a big war crime. And he did it on August 4th, 1914. And let me see now. The first battle of World War One was the German siege of Liege, which they captured on August 15th of that same year. That was the first battle. Schleppenplan, that's what it was, not Schlieb. Schleppenplan. Gotta correct myself. And all this led up to the next most important battle, which is the Battle of Marne, which was what happened on the year 1914, September 6th to September 9th. And France and Great Britain attempted to halt the German forces invading France. And they stopped them at Marne River and forced them across the river. Well, here's what happened. They decided to use trench warfare. And that resulted in 3 years of nasty hell. It's really vicious and chaotic. What happens is, as soon as you understand trench warfare, is you dig a trench, you hop in there. That gives you very good cover. An entrenched position will almost always be superior to an attacking force. Lee did this in the Civil War, but it's a great place to have a last stand, but not to spend years in. Which is with people, and you don't want to know the diseases they got. It's actually quite horrifying. Never Google the word trench foot. So, it was pretty nasty. And you look at the diagrams for the trenches on paper, they look good. One of the things the people in charge look, okay, that looks good. And then between on paper and applied, it all goes to hell. So, Richard Tobin of the Royal Navy Division, Britain, described trench warfare as this. As you go over the top, fear has left you, and it is terror. You don't look, you see. You don't hear, you listen. Your nose is filled with fumes and death. You taste the top of your mouth. You are back in the jungle. The veneer of civilization has dropped away. So there's a lot more comments other people have said, but I thought that was the best example.
Yeah.
Just everything shuts off.
Kind of paints a picture.
Very nasty picture.
Yeah, you just get down to your basic instincts.
Mm-hmm. On top of that, you're holding... I own World War One rifles. They're heavy. They're not like modern weapons. They're heavy. They're wood. They're designed to literally be used as clubs to beat people to death. In fact, they use clubs in World War One. They're trench clubs. They're big, heavy pieces of wood with spikes in them. Not pretty.
Sounds nasty.
It is quite nasty. Which is why it's a brief overview of World War One instead of not an in-depth nightmare-causing...
Right.
We'll do the nightmares later.
Yeah. They use mustard gas and stuff.
Mustard gas. They used all sorts of stuff. It was not fun. And part of the problem is they had modern weapons and old tactics. And that causes serious problems. That's a problem during the Civil War as well. So, on the Eastern Front, the Russians launched an offensive into Germany. Well, German-held Prussia and Poland. German forces stopped them at the Battle of... And I can't read my own handwriting. God darn it.
Give it your best shot.
Okay. Tenenham.
And if you could read it, would you even know how to pronounce it? We need Jack here.
Jack here?
Yeah, he speaks German.
Speaks German.
Yeah.
Okay. But the problem with this is the Russian Revolution occurred right after this.
It did.
And for those of you who don't know what happened to the Russian Revolution is Russia had a bunch of problems, bad war policies, a czar, which means Caesar, actually. Their czar, their king, his son was dying, so he is not paying attention to the problems. And all along comes Lenin. We don't need to get into politics, but let's just say Lenin led the revolution with his fellow communist allies and got millions of people killed. As a result, Russia leaves the war. Now, the next big thing that happens, and I'm so sorry I couldn't read my own handwriting. That's just terribly unprofessional on my part. So, the next big event that happens is there's lots of things that actually happen. There's war at sea, war in the air, tons of stuff. But, like I said, a brief overview. The Lusitania is what happens. For those of you who don't know the Lusitania, Germans had an aggressive policy as to stopping neutral or friendly ships coming near Great Britain. They declared it a war zone, told everyone, it's a war zone, stay away. Ma, you heard about this M-bomb.
Yes.
We learned about it in school. Not everyone
remembers. Yeah, because as an adult, I didn't know that much about World War One, but everyone's heard of the Lusitania.
Yes.
That's what PO'd the Americans and got them into the war. Yeah.
It's 100 years ago, it was essentially 9/11.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. It's like, and how dare they? Yeah.
And like Pearl Harbor, although Pearl Harbor was much, much worse. Say this aggressive policy, U-boat captains were told all waters around Britain were war zone. Have no mercy. The British ocean liner, the Lusitania, was sunk, killing hundreds of American passengers in May 1916. I got to apologize. New rule. I am typing all my notes.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Nothing like a little dead air to...
Nothing like a little dead air. You, talk, dance. Make the problems go away.
Well, I would if I knew more about World War I.
1915.
May 1915.
Now, after that, the United States began to prepare for war. On April 2nd, in 1917, Woodrow Wilson asked Congress to declare a state of war. And the United States joined the war. Now, the big thing about why we helped win World War One is not just because of Belleau Woods and other things we did, is because Germany saw that America had a massive industry, production industry.
Yeah.
And basically they read between the lines, these people outproduce us. And that's they will make better tanks, they will make better planes, they will do this and that, which is what happened when your country has a steel industry. Thank you, Andrew Carnegie. So the Second Battle of Marne, in July 15th, 1918, it was the last German offensive, which turned the tide of the war for the Allies. And that was the writing on the wall.
The writing on the wall for what?
The end of the war.
Oh, the end of the war. Okay, gotcha.
Now, you heard of the Ottoman Empire, which was a massive power since the Renaissance. Yeah. In fact, you wouldn't even... And they actually were doing pretty well. They won the Battle of Gallipoli, mm-hmm. Which Winston Churchill resigned as lost quite a bit of power as a result of that. But they had an economic crisis, the Turks did. Their economy was crumbling. They were dealing with invasions and the Arab revolt led by...
I don't know.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can't sing a song because I'm pretty sure it's copyrighted. But yeah, we should do an episode on him too because he's not as well known.
So he organized a bunch of other people in the Middle East to go against the Turks, right?
Yep, the Arabs specifically.
He
knew modern technology, and he saw how great fighters the Arabs were, and he convinced them, hey, guerrilla warfare with me, and we'll cause such chaos for the Turks. It'll completely shut down their economy, which it did, shut down their war machine. So they saw the writing on the wall as well and signed a treaty in October of 1918. Austria and Hungary, Austria-Hungary, which is two nations becoming one, began to divide because there was nationalist movement. There was a lot of national movements at this time. In fact, the group that murdered Archduke Ferdinand, which started all this, was a Serbian nationalist movement called the Black Hand.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make Serbia their own country.
Yeah.
And they knew what would happen. This political domino would cause a nationalist movement. So they walked up to him, shot him, shot his wife.
Yeah. And it wasn't because Arch Ferdinand's driver accidentally went down the wrong road. He got confused and drove their car. Well, I seem to remember, okay, this could be totally wrong, people. But
we're not experts. We're doing this for fun.
But it seems to me their driver got them lost, and they were supposed to go down this one route, but he accidentally drove them down another route. And there was, like, I think he was Bosnian. He was Serbian, but from Bosnia, maybe? Anyway, I don't remember his name. But he saw them there, and he knew that they were just enemies. And he thought, oh, my gosh, this is just too good to be true. And it must have been, like, the Wild West then, and everyone had a gun on them. And he, no?
Things tend to be more complicated than that. A lot of countries... in fact, the Wild West, not everyone had a gun on them. A lot of people didn't.
Oh, well.
They kept them in their houses.
That's what I picture. But anyway, so this guy, he had a gun on him for whatever reason.
Well, he is part of a radical nationalist group.
Oh, okay, maybe that's why. They just keep guns on him. He shot him and his wife, which I didn't think was necessary.
Also, part of the weird thing during while all this was going on is... Well, we'll get to this after.
We'll get to that.
I have only a couple more, a little bit. So, Germany sought an armistice on November 11th, 1918, which caused the Treaty of Versailles. Mm-hmm. Treaty of Versailles caused World War II, essentially, if you know about that. But that's just the overview of the war. Treaty of Versailles, they calmed everything down. They blamed the Germans for everything, even though it really wasn't their fault. Stole their money, destroyed their economy, stopped them from having an army. And then Hitler came along. In fact, Hitler was I believe he was in the hospital because he was a hero. He was a medal-winning hero. He was in the hospital when the armistice was signed. And here's the thing. There no one ever set foot in Germany. And he resented that. He resented that. So let's discuss. So here's where it gets weirder, this war. Mm-hmm. Most of the royalty was related through Queen Victoria. She was everyone's grandmother because the royal families got smaller and smaller and things like that. And there's a book that I would kill to have, but I can't find it. It's called Cousin Nikki from Ferdy or something along those lines. And it's letters because Tsar Nicholas, the Russian king, and the German king, or I believe it was Prince Ferdinand, one of the Central Powers, who was king, was cousin to Tsar Nick, and they were writing letters throughout the war because they loved each other. They were cousins and their family. I'm going to hunt down that book and go over it.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
That'd be crazy. Like, oh, you took Poland, you silly dog.
You think it was like that?
I think... I remember flicking through it at Barnes and Company that has a copyrighted name, probably.
Yeah.
So a bookstore, and thinking, wow. And some of the letters seemed to be serious, and some of them were just like, "Please, can we not fight?" And other ones were just, "Do you remember when we were boys and we would play?"
And that's sad.
Yeah. And he got murdered. As you, those of you who don't know, the communists murdered the entire royal family. And the way it happened, too, was really sad because they weren't very rich as a royal family. So they had regular dresses, and they would, and the woman would sew jewelry into their dresses. So when they were executed by firing squad, yeah. they acted like flak jackets.
Oh, wow.
So it just pushed the jewel, the bullets just pushed the jewels in, and they slowly died.
Oh, that's yeah. so horrible. Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I just picture that, and it's, like, awful to even picture.
Yeah, that's part of history for you. If you've read history, you have a fair good idea how the world works.
It's a bloodbath.
Pardon me?
It's a bloodbath.
It's a bloodbath with slow, steady improvements closer to stability. So this whole war, contrary to the Second War, could have been avoided by one driver's mistake.
Yeah, I think so.
But we'll go with you. I said, we don't know what we're talking about.
Well, we sort of do, yeah. but well, I didn't look up anything because I didn't know what we were going to be talking about. Whining. This was a surprise.
This is not your fault. Well, so I just do research and get a general idea of what I know about, but rarely am an expert on the subject, so I don't get everything right.
Right. It's just interesting to talk about because I don't think very many people know about World War One or talk about World War One.
Mm-hmm.
I think they kind of have a vague idea. Like you hear Lusitania, you're like, oh yeah, that's right. Or you hear...
And it changed the world.
Oh, wasn't there some spy letter? Something happened down in Mexico.
Zimmerman Note, it was called. I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, yeah.
But basically it was the Germans told Mexico, hey, we'll give you back the California and New Mexico.
And those Texas are, and stuff.
Those places which... yeah, right. Invade Texas. Good luck. You need to let those people be. They're their own country. Never forget that. They're, yeah.
But they intercepted a telegram or something.
Well, it may have been fake. There's a whole conspiracy about it. I don't know. I think it's real. But it could have been just overtones, back channel, like, hey, Mexico. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And Mexico is probably like, no, those people are crazy. They invade everyone. We went to war with Mexico. We went to war with the Caribbeans. We've been to war with everyone.
Yeah.
Which is why no one messes with you.
Yeah.
And you have all the nukes as well.
Yeah. Well, that's well, this is what I would do. I would encourage people just to kind of look into World War One a little bit and learn about it. Because it was the precursor for World War II, and we all know it. Most people are more familiar with what happened there, and that was pretty horrific,
not as much.
Too.
My generation is just like, oh, they're Nazis, and they were mean to Jews. They don't understand. There's a lot of historical literacy in my generation. I challenge you to encourage other people to fix it.
Yeah, definitely fix it, because if you don't learn from history, they say you're bound to repeat some of the mistakes. And
oh, yeah.
We don't want that. And but yeah, it's interesting. I think it's fascinating, actually.
It's a fun
how
hobby.
It all got started and how everyone got involved. And
yeah, it's surprising how much it affects us today. But anyways, I think that's the end of the episode.
Alrighty.
Thank you for joining me.
No problem. You're welcome. Anytime.
Anytime, except when there's...
Except when the giant slaloms.
And when this, and when our favorite baseball team's playing.
And when our favorite baseball team's playing. Or women's skating. I think women's skating's going to be on pretty soon. And I want a front row seat for that. So that'll do it for us this evening.
That'll do it for us.
And thank you for listening. And please let us know.
Donate to my Patreon, please. Like, subscribe. I'm just kidding. I don't have any of that stuff yet.
But it could happen someday.
It could happen one day. I want to have t-shirts.
We're going to have t-shirts and mugs in the near, not so distant future.
When I finally say something funny, we can have it on a t-shirt.
There you go. Yeah, we'll get it on a t-shirt. And please let us know what you would like to hear. More details about certain things we've talked about in the past or future episodes, what you'd like to hear, anything about history, because we are here to whine about history.
We're here to whine about history, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening.